Previously on Talking Trash.
I glanced at the 80s in Roger Corman's Career of the 80s. I grabbed a couple of titles that just stuck out to me. I don't know what these movies are. We can talk about what are these movies. What do we think these movies are? I just want to ask you, because you said Streetwalking jumped out at you. You saw a hooker and you saw Streetwalking and that jumped out to you. Now, here's what jumped out to me, because that's how we pick these movies. These are the ones that picked out and jumped out to me. Let's talk about them.
Now it's garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello everybody and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night and I am Scott, and with me is my best friend Joe. How you doing, Joe?
Hi everybody. Hi Scotty. I'm good.
Yeah, you're good?
Yeah, just trying to figure out, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
Mic stuff.
Yeah, it's a...
You know.
It ain't good.
Production stuff.
Well, what are we doing today, Joe? We're doing what? Talking trash, all right? We're doing talking trash. Did you know that?
I know that we're doing talking trash. Do you know what we're doing?
Yeah, we're doing talking trash. That's all we do is trash talk. All right, everybody. This is our show to spoil, review, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and the often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe that you can't truly review a movie unless you know what the worst is. Did I say it right?
No.
I don't know. It all might have came out sloppy, because this is talking trash and it's all about sloppy. It's all about trash. Trash talking.
It is trash. And I will say this definitely falls under the category of often forgotten flicks.
Definitely. Oh, without a doubt.
100.
But I got another thing. It's okay. A special day. You know why it's a special day?
Why?
This is our 100th episode of Talking Trash.
Oh, Talking Trash.
100 episodes of Talking Trash.
Wow, and we're wasting our 100th episode on beach balls?
What other way could you? What other way could we waste our time but on a bad movie? This is what we do. Now, okay, look. Talking trash. Let's do a little talking trash about our show. Okay?
Okay.
So, we are on our way to 12,000 downloads. You know, not so bad, but let's face facts. We have to thank a AI bot out there for downloading our show the most. Oddly enough, the AI bot that seems to be downloading is only downloading one episode constantly, which would be Five Nights at Freddy's. Now, I think that's because the AI knows that we trash talk Five Nights at Freddy's, and they're coming for us.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Shaking in my boots.
Nothing like an animatronic creature movie. I guess they're haunted. It's really, it's debatable.
Hmm.
But the AI seems to love that damn episode.
I ain't scared. They can come for us. We have protectors here.
Now, of our show, Just Another Movie Night, our entire podcast show, we have two shows on it, which is Before and After Reviews and Talking Trash. Now, sadly, only 7 episodes of Talking Trash are in the top 20 downloads for our show altogether.
Okay,
only 7 movies have made it into the top 20. Now, this is my favorite show to do. I love talking trash. It's why I wanted to do a podcast in the first place. The reviews are going to get the most download. I mean, let's face facts. The reviews, the right after reviews where we just give our thoughts about a new movie in the theater, are probably going to get the most downloads because people are interested in what we have to say about the movie they saw.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame it, although those are really, you know, short, and we're just getting some thoughts out, and it's hard to talk about because we can't spoil and everything like that. But talking trash is the opposite. But talking trash is also a culty indie type thing where we're talking about movies that no one has ever seen or people have seen and forgot.
Want to admit that they've seen them.
Exactly. And we try to go out of our way to talk crap about the movies that people are never going to go watch. But we figure, like, you know what? We'll go out of our way and we're trying to do a public service and watch all the movies that no one wants to watch.
Yeah, and also we like to talk to each other about movies that we've seen that are just dreadful.
Yes. Well, and also hope for the diamond in the rough.
Yes, we are still looking for a diamond in the rough, and sometimes we do find one.
Well, we found plenty, I think.
Yeah, we do.
Find them. Out of the 7 episodes on the top 20, do you want to play the guessing game of what those movies are of talking trash?
Oh, Lord.
100 movies. We've done 100 talking trash movies. 7 on the top 20. Would you like to guess the 7 movies that are in the top 20 for talking trash?
We know that Five Nights at Freddy's isn't there.
That was actually a before and after review.
But didn't it turn into talking trash?
I think it kind of did, and we said that we wanted to revisit it because the bot seems to love it, and we want that bot to download more.
Okay, so the next one would probably be, like, I know that Street Fighter is on there.
No.
Right? No?
No.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
Did not make it.
Bog.
Did not make it.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could even think of what these could be.
Congo.
Did not make it.
Okay, I'm out. Tell me.
You didn't guess any. That's it. You give up.
I don't want to look like a damn fool. I already do my best at looking like a fool.
Do you want to start? You want to go from what's the top to the bottom or the bottom to the top?
Let's go the bottom to the top.
Okay, so right at number 20 is The Crawlers.
Oh, yeah.
Then Boxing Helena.
Oh, shit.
Tokyo Drift. The Fast and the Furious. The first one.
Oh, son of a bitch. I forgot about those.
Possession.
Yeah.
Furious 7. And the most odd thing ever, which I think the bots might have gotten a hold of this episode, too. The Mask of the Red Death is our number 2 most downloaded thing. Now, I know that has to be a bot, because no one even knows what this is. Unless everybody... here's what I'd love to think, right? People are downloading the movie, and they're thinking we're talking about the one that they like, because what we found out on the show, there's like 4 versions of the movie.
Yeah, we did find that out.
And I actually made jokes about it over and over. I said, not the Mask of the Red Death, not the Mask of the Red Death, the other Mask of the Red Death. So everybody downloading is probably like, what the hell?
Oh, man.
Frank Stallone. In a Mask of the Red Death movie?
Man.
Yeah, it happened. We listened to it. Dang. Somehow that's our number 2 most downloaded thing.
What's number 1?
Well, that would be before and after reviews, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, that's number 1, okay.
Because the bot got a hold of that sucker.
Oh, man.
All right, well, now, how do you feel about those 7 being in the top 20?
I think it's odd.
Are you disappointed that those are the ones?
Yeah.
Now, I was wondering if you also wanted to add these, but this is the ones I wish got more love.
Well, except Possession. That one deserves
I think that actually turned into a hoot, and it was an accident. God. It was an accident.
Still can't get over that film.
So the ones that I wish got more love, these are my picks, and maybe you can think of some to add to this, but, The Beyond, Hocus Pocus, Hard Ticket to Hawaii, Zombie 3, and Swim. Those are episodes of our show that we've done that I think they came out great. And okay. I think that we were laughing our asses off so much during the episodes that I think people should listen to them more.
I think Miami Connection should be on that list.
All right.
But I do agree with Swim, because I will never, and I'm still not over that lady with her mouth open the whole time. It was the funnest time I think I have had on Bad Movie Night. One of the funnest times.
We actually watched it twice.
Yeah.
And our minds melting the second time we watched it and re-recorded about it.
Yes.
Our brains just overloaded.
I mean, so much is going on in that movie with Joey Lawrence and his eyebrows. And I mean, oh my God.
Well, I would say, everybody, I went and made an edit of the movie just of the woman's mouth open, the whole movie. So go on my Instagram page and please look up my video that I perfectly scored to mouth from Bush. So
there must be 20 minutes of her with her
it's
mouth.
Not it's the whole okay. It's almost the whole song. I think it's funny, you know. Please listen to our episode and then watch the clip show of the mouth open, because we talk about it a lot. So yeah, that's 100 episodes. Is there any thoughts that you have about doing talking trash, or what talking trash has become, the evolution of talking trash.
I love talking trash. There are some films, I will say, that really just annoyed me to the point that I was a stinker on the podcast, because it just stunk me out. It just stunk me up. I couldn't do it. Like Norman or whatever, the Driving Norman or whatever, that appointment or whatever it is, some shit that we did. I was so hateful of that movie.
I think that's a good one because it was more of a debate about the movie. And I think that's a lot of fun. I think when we can debate a movie and not agree, I think that's more of an interesting conversation.
Yeah, and I think that doing the Fast and the Furious films just made me a different person inside. And I don't ever want to watch another Fast and the Furious movie. I really think I'm out on this. I don't even care about bad movie night. I just can't.
Well, we see every movie first off. And I would say that the last one ended in a huge cliffhanger, literally. And I need to know what the hell that piece of crap is going to be. And it was, I voted it the worst movie I had seen that year. Still, I'm going to stand by it. I don't care if Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey is everybody's least favorite movie of that year. That movie, that cost like $100,000. Fast and the Furious cost $100+ million. So fuck that movie. Anyways, let's not talk about that anymore. I know everybody, I get on my rants about Fast and the Furious.
Anyway, I had a good time talking trash about the Toxic Avenger series.
Did you? Because we were very disappointed with that movie.
Well, there's two that we enjoyed. And I like talking about those. And there's also the same with the Leprechaun in the Hood.
Okay.
That movie was one of my favorite things to do. I loved it.
Okay, wow, okay.
So, yeah, we had some good times on talking trash.
Yeah. We have actually even started our ranking within, this would be our 40th movie right now, of ranking the talking trashes, which is pretty cool. I think that's it's an interesting addition we should have been doing from the beginning, because we're really trying to find what is the worst movies. And by doing this, we're putting movies on it. So that's kind of fun too, to see what is the worst comparatively, like, we did a whole month where people told us to watch certain ones.
Oh, Barbarella is still going to be in my head forever.
Yeah, and I think by doing that, we're like, well, if you think Son of the Mask is the worst movie, you know, like, no, we found worse.
Oh, we found worse.
And we've told people who have, like, our friend reviewers online have told us some movies, and like the Son of the Mask, I said, the challenge is out to you guys now. Watch what we think is the worst and tell me which one's worse.
Oh, yeah. No one wants to take that challenge.
No one wants to take that challenge because I guess we did it for them.
Because they're going to lose 2 hours of their lives. Yeah. You can never get back.
I guess so, yeah. So, yeah.
We did all the dirty work for them.
We're constantly doing the dirty work. And I guess that's a good segue into tonight. Yeah. Because it's 100th episode. How else to celebrate it than a complete misfire of a comedy, maybe slash teen movie, beach comedy. I don't know what this thing
is. I'm having trouble with this. This is produced by Roger Corman, not directed by Roger Corman, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I feel as though there's no... This is the most, I would say, on our show, we've done some plotless movies. This one is pretty plotless.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. This month, we have picked movies that we did prior on another episode where we were doing Roger Corman movies. You had picked a movie called Streetwalkin', and I said, well, why didn't you pick all these fun titles? And we decided what would be funny is later on, actually watch those movies I suggested as a joke. And you actually, during our episode, gave thoughts about what you thought each movie was.
Yes, you asked me what I thought the synopsis of Beach Balls was.
So would you like to now listen to what your thought of Beach Balls?
I don't remember what I said, so please refresh me.
Okay, here we go.
Next up, Beach Balls.
Beach Balls. Okay, so Beach Balls is a movie starring Frankie Avalon.
Oh my God, Frankie Avalon.
He is he's a father, and his two sons...
Let's backtrack. Okay. Do you really think Frankie Avalon would work with Roger Corman?
No.
Yeah.
He needed the paycheck.
But, I mean, you have to think, what were Roger Corman's Beach Balls?
Okay. In all seriousness, Roger Corman's Beach Balls. All right, let's say...
that this is a zany movie, kind of like Summer School, where everyone goes out for spring break and all hell breaks loose and there's a murder on the beach. And
oh, you think it's a horror movie?
No, no. The only people that can solve the murder are two stoners.
I mean, I swear to God, I'm mad because I know none of these movies are going to be as amazing as you're saying they are. I know this is just going to be a booby comedy with a whole bunch of guys who are trying to have sex.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, you know, there's a murder, and the two guys that are high have to solve the murder because, you know, they were high on the beach when it happened and they saw the whole thing, but they got distracted by a woman running down the beach with her boobies jiggling.
Boobies jiggling?
Yeah.
And those are the beach
balls. And that's how it ties in, because those are the beach balls, yes.
Oh my God, okay.
Okay, that was your belief.
Wow, okay, I started out fresh with Frankie Avalon.
Yeah, you went right out with the craziest casting call ever.
No, I was so far off, my God. I mean, not entirely far off. I mean, there was no stoners or a murder, but it was zany. This was a zany movie.
I guess,
I don't know.
I kind of came close that this would be, everybody trying to get laid.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what every 1980s silly beach movie is.
Yeah.
It's pretty much that.
Yeah, and that's when you said what you said, I was like, oh my God, please be this. Please be a crazy murder mystery with this stoner.
It would be funny if it was like a comedy, you know, like a comedy murder.
Yeah, that would be great. We should write it.
I know. I'd probably make a better movie than this.
Well, today we are talking about 1988's Beach Balls.
Summer vacation, and Charlie has some simple desires.
All I want is that girl on a guitar.
But two things stand between it: his basic needs,
repressed sexual tension,
and a perfect chance to make a lot of money.
I want to talk to you.
Goodbye, Mrs. Cleaver. Say hi to Ward for me.
First, there's his concerned parents.
Huh? Your father and I are going away tomorrow.
Second is his conniving sister.
There happens to be a moral decline in this country.
There will be no drinking, no overnight guests, and no parties. Is that understood?
Harsh. It's Beach Balls.
Radical. They're here.
And you're all invited.
Whatever you do, don't touch your fingers to your mouth.
Weird.
I can't take him anywhere.
What?
An hour and a and 17 minute R-rated flick. It has a 4.4 from only 338 people on IMDb. So we are now 339. We're the 39th person, people to ever, well, I guess.
I haven't put my review in yet.
Yeah, it's not me neither.
So it doesn't count.
Two numbers finally get added to this movie. It was directed by Joe Ritter, who wrote The Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
He has worked on many films as an assistant steadicam operator, included Pulp Fiction, Bram Stoker's. I always say Stroker. What is that?
Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker's Dracula and Starship Troopers. It was written by David Rocklin, and this is his only credit. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, it stars Philip Paley as Charlie, who is famous for playing Chaka on Land of the Lost.
Isn't Chaka a monkey creature?
Yeah. And now, this is wild. And I feel like this is believe something that didn't happen, but you think it happened? What is it called? Mandela effect. I feel like this is the Mandela effect because I really thought that was Clint Howard all this time.
I always thought
it was Clint Howard.
Yes, we did think it was Clint Howard.
I always thought it was him. It actually looks like Clint Howard.
First of all, can I just say that this guy looks like he looks like Zach Morris had a baby with Corey Haim.
You said that, and I said the guy, that one, I can't think of the actor's name. Oh, man. He just played Adam Warlock in the Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah, but he has those eyebrows. They're very prominent eyebrows. I don't think this guy has that. No, he doesn't. He looks like Corey Haim.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Jeez. All right. This also stars Heidi Helmer as Wendy. She was in Porky's Revenge. It also stars Stephen Tash as Scully. He's known as Couple Wavy Lines in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but he's been in other stuff, right?
I mean, he's in some stuff, but like bit, like walk-ons and really? Stuff like that. Nothing as prominent as this. He's in this entire movie. This also has Amanda Goodwin as Tony, who I saw in her IMDb credits has a movie called Whore.
Oh.
Just Whore. Okay. Raph Mario as Sam Sugarman from The Mentalist, and They Call Me Bruce. And also, I cannot believe you didn't point this out during the movie, but Gary Schneider as Mollusk. He is famous for playing Bozo in Toxic Avenger.
Ah! He's stressing me, Julie. He is stressing me.
Oh, Bozo.
I can't take it, Julie. I cannot take it. He is screwing up my karma. Ah!
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice
it. You didn't notice it. Yeah.
No.
He's basically playing the same character in this movie that he was in that. Except in that, he had more dialogue. In this, he has, like, no dialogue except, sorry, Mom.
Oh, my God. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we watched this movie. We did this only because... And I also have to read this factoid out. These are the movies that were suggested to me because I watched this movie. I love looking at these when it says, hey, you watch this, you might like these.
Yes.
And I love them. I had to write them all down for you. Body Waves. Oddballs. Snowballing. Hot Splash. The Malibu Bikini Shop. Beach Fever and Bikini Summer. Okay. I'm like, I want to watch all of them.
I want to watch all of those. They sound like complete trash.
I like Snowballing the best. They're just getting straight to
what? What was the other one? The Malibu Bikini Shop?
Yeah, the Malibu Bikini
Shop. That's going to be a titty flick. We got to watch that one.
Oh, these are all... And here's the thing that sucks about this, right? These covers of these DVDs or these... when you would go to the store and you would rent these movies, you would see these covers that were just like a pair of boobs and a hot girl over-tanned and someone doing something funny on their boobs. Like, there's like a guy surfing. If it's a ski movie, there's a skier going down the boobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always the same, and you make you think, oh my God, it's going to be so hot, there's going to be so many pretty girls. Then when you watch the movie, you're like, it's kind of tame, huh?
Yeah.
That's this movie tonight, because this is just literally a bikini. Just the boobs and the crotch on the cover, and that's it. And none of that really is in this movie.
No, they need to lure people in with their VHS tape covers. So.
I
mean,
and that's the thing, and... I think you agree with me. We've talked about this before. I don't know how much we've talked about it on the show because we rarely get comedies. We usually walk into horror movies, sci-fi, and action.
This is true.
Comedies are my least favorite bad movie. I know a lot of people grow up with comedies and they kind of give them a pass. But when a comedy is bad, it is really bad.
Yeah. Also, it's hard to differentiate what is... being done on purpose in these slapsticky ones and what is just bad.
Yeah, I
you know
agree.
Like they fucked up and they're bad. Like in this movie we saw the boom mic like no less than 12 times.
It was insane.
A poor production.
Yeah.
But can I just make one statement about this film? All of this whole entire movie happens because this kid wants a new guitar. You realize that?
This whole movie actually happens only because he wants to get with a girl.
But he wants...
The guitar is because of her.
So he could get the girl.
Yeah, because it's all about her. And, okay. I named half this cast because the movie is... We can break it down to say that the movie is just about a bunch of weird characters that come together around an event. It's one of those movies where there's like an event... characters all come down to it, but it really has this one main character and the people revolve around him, and like you said, he's trying to get with a girl, and it's the whole damn movie, and everything that he does is because of a girl.
Yes, and we're supposed to believe yet again in these 80s movies that these are 17 year olds.
Yeah, this one I was questioning it because I thought they had graduated. I thought this was like out of high school kids, because The plot of this movie, it seems to be that the main kid, which I said is, I think his name is Charlie. Charlie, he got arrested because he is somehow caught up with a... Now, it doesn't look like this kid would be caught up with these douchebags, but there's three douchebags that seem to use him a lot. And they're kind of like a drunk, stoner, biker gang guys.
Yeah, so just picture, and I'm sorry to bring him up again, Corey Haim in Dream a Little Dream, and how he and Feldman are friends with Joel and his friends. Joel and his friends are a bunch of hooligan, asshole, douchebags. Why are you guys friends? Yeah, why?
I can't. You see, you keep saying the Coreys, and I keep seeing Zach Morris. But what if Zach Morris hung out with a biker gang?
It's so odd.
It's strange. And I see even Zach Morris even more because his best friend, Charlie, is a Screech.
He is. His name is Scuzz or something, right?
Yeah, Scully.
Oh, Scully.
I like Scuzz.
Oh, you know.
I would say the biker guys are probably called Scuzz.
Now, I have Return of the Living Dead in my brain because I've been making necklaces all week.
That's true. I also want to point out, we keep saying biker gang, but there's one bike and a gang on that one bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have the leader, his girlfriend, and his idiot. They all have that one idiot that's always with the bad guys.
Well, they can boss around.
Yeah, he's the muscle, and that's what this guy's Mollusk. They say it a lot. He is probably the funniest bit in the whole movie is everything with this guy. I think you agree. Do you agree with this?
You think so? I don't. I had a hard time laughing at some parts that were supposed to be funny, but I will say that yes, his scenes were probably the most notable.
I also did laugh. There's a running gag with the guy saving people in the water.
The lifeguard.
Thank you.
What is wrong with you?
I couldn't think of the name, but the lifeguard in this movie is kind of like the Mimbo character, but he made me laugh a couple times accidentally. There was a couple of things here and there that kind of clicked, but I actually thought the biker guys, the mollusk joke, every time it would bring him up, he would do a face or he would do his crazy thing, which I also loved in Toxic Avenger when he was doing his screaming face. You know, he's really funny in Toxic Avenger.
I can't believe that's him.
Yeah. I mean, it's him. I mean,
didn't pay attention. I don't know why.
I'm so mad that he didn't do all the stuff that he did in that movie because he's screaming and freaking out in Toxic Avenger. And he could have really done it here and it would have been much funnier.
Yeah.
But yeah, this guy, now the kid, the Charlie kid, what happened to him apparently was that he was arrested because for some reason this biker guys got him drunk and gave him a stolen car. And he got pulled over and went to, and he's got to check in.
No, he has a parole officer, so he went to juvie because he was 16 at the time, and now he's 17, and he's checking in with his parole officer, who is a total nutbag.
Yeah, and that's that Sam Sugarman character I just said in the opening, and I brought him up because you would think this is a bit character. He's in the entire movie, too, and he has his own subplot.
Yeah, you know, I feel like he should be, institutionalized. There's, so much wrong with this guy, and he's a parole officer. It's, the scenes of them meeting up together are hysterical.
I actually think they might be, they might be the better part. It's also very odd because it's played earnestly. Like, the character is insane, and our main character is so straight that anything that he's like Zach Morris when he comes into a scene, everybody just likes him, and you kind of he's just like very simple, very calm, doesn't have much going on. People are just wacky around him.
But yeah, he's very bare bones. This guy he seems to be a nice guy.
It's kind of wild.
But the guy in the biker and the biker guy that gets him in trouble and his parole officer. I don't know if you picked up on this, but they both have Brooklyn accents. They're supposed to be in California. It seems like everybody in this movie, except our main guy, has some kind of New York accent. It's so weird.
Interesting. I didn't pick up on it.
It's so weird. Over the top, New York accents.
Okay.
I was like, all right, well, this director's not really giving much direction.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, I have to point out this Sam Sugarman guy. This guy who is the he has to check in with. He has a couple weird quirks. One, he likes having Charlie's urine in a vial on his desk constantly.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Okay, so he's I guess he has to check his urine for
drugs,
but like he was arrested for reckless endangerment and drinking. So they wouldn't find any drugs in his urine.
Yeah, but they're looking for alcohol.
If they're looking for alcohol, that's fine. And I understand, but he literally leaves this jar of pee on his desk for days at a time.
Every time Charlie comes in, he's got his urine on the table.
I'm sure it's untestable at this point.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
I'm like, why are you keeping this? This is the dumbest thing.
No lid. It's actually a small test tube.
Yes, and he almost knocks it over three times.
He actually almost pours it into his coffee instead of his milk. And Charlie's always stopping him. You're so used to these 80s movies where the main lead male is kind of like the ladies' man, and he's always a sarcastic guy. Think like Ryan Reynolds' character in anything, in every movie in the 80s. I mean, you know, you have like Mahoney in Police Academy. You have these characters, and I can't unsee like the Ryan Reynolds-esque character where he's the ladies' guy, and he's always got that dork that he's trying to get with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's always like how it is, but here it's completely opposite. Charlie's so nice. He's like stopping his parole officer from accidentally drinking his urine, you know, and he's also worried about him. At one point, his parole officer literally gets a divorce on the phone in front of him, and he's an alcoholic. I guess that's the running joke, is the parole officer's an alcoholic. And Charlie's like, hey, if you ever need anybody to talk to, just call me. And I'm like, what now, movie is this?
17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking throughout this whole entire film that, okay, everyone has seen Revenge of the Nerds. This kid does not have that, like, that Lewis Skolnick vibe, you know, or the booger vibe, where even Poindexter, where they're, like, completely just dweebs. He is actually a cute kid.
Yes.
With a nice personality. And we're supposed to think like this is like a screwball douchey kind of comedy, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not like that at all. Except he does have this zany friend that we discussed. His name is Scully. This guy is very wacky.
Yeah.
He's whacked out. Well, but he's fun. He's a fun guy.
Yeah, and he's actually helpful. He'll do anything for his friend, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and they're together throughout the whole movie. So, like, I mean, it's like a buddy comedy.
I guess. Not really. It's not really anything.
Okay, we're trying right now to give you little bits and pieces of this film, but there's literally nothing. So, Charlie likes this beautiful girl. Now, she's gorgeous. Obviously, she's 37, playing a 17-year-old, like in the 80s.
I doubt it.
But, but she's absolutely gorgeous, and she has a friend. So they got two guys and two girls. And Charlie's, like, completely obsessed with her and wants to be in a band so that he can get the chick because she's obsessed with this band. What's the name of the band again?
I want to say Seven Heads in a Duffel Bag, but
seven
I'm not.
Seven Heads.
It's like
Seven Severed Heads in a Bag.
In a Bag.
Seven Severed Heads in a Bag. That's the name of the band. Now, if you can picture any 80s movie with a rock band in it, this is that movie. It's like Trick or Treat, right? With Skippy from Family Ties.
Okay.
Like that, Rock and Roll Nightmare, Rock and Roll Zombies. Like anything that has, you know, that kind of like cheesy 80s band in it that sounds terrible, can't play their instruments, and the songs are just dreadful. That is what Seven Severed Heads in a Bag is. They're awful.
And yeah, this isn't Spastic Colon.
No one's ever going to be Spastic Colon. They're a national treasure, okay? But this group that that's in this movie. So this chick that Charlie likes is obsessed with this band, but mainly the lead singer, whose name is Keith. Now, he reminds me literally of every 1980s. Singer. Like, he has,
yeah,
like, he just has that look. Like, he wears the hat, you know, like, just like Judas Priest. Like, he has just everything. And she's like obsessed with him. She doesn't want to be with Charlie. She says, "You're just my friend. Can you get me close to Keith?" And he just happens to know the singer of this band.
Yeah, this is wild. And you're being so much more nice, because she is leading him on, like, "Oh, we should hang out. You know the band. I would love to meet him. Can you get us backstage?"
She's just using him, yeah, for sure.
But she doesn't say, "We're friends," until later.
Right. Well, he tries to kiss her, and then she's like, "Oh, I just like you as a friend because I like Keith, and Keith is the lead singer of a band, and you're a dweeb," and blah, blah. She doesn't say that, but pretty much she's just doing that girl thing. So she uses Charlie to get to meet Keith, and then she realizes that Keith is a total douche and just wants to bang her and doesn't want to be her boyfriend, doesn't want to be a nice guy. He just wants to do the rock star thing and bang her, and that's it.
I love how you're jumping all around. I love how you just, like, summed up the movie.
That's it.
Well, there's other stuff, and I wanted to point out, because we're talking about Charlie in general, and say that Charlie's, like, attitude, that he's so nice to everybody, but he does have an attitude when it comes to his mother.
Oh my God! Well, his mother's like a holy roller. She's a what do you call it? A Bible beater.
She's ridiculous. She thinks that music, heavy metal and rock and roll, is the devil's music, and that Charlie is hanging out with the devil. She actually thinks Scully is, like, a bad influence, which is, like, funny. Because another thing that's amazing about Charlie is he won't give up the names of the people who got him in trouble.
No.
He won't tell anybody, even though multiple times in the movie, they do bad things to him, and he doesn't give them up. The cops are involved at one point, and he still doesn't say anything because he's that good of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, but his mom thinks that she, you know, he's the devil and he's worshiping the devil, and she's like obsessed with a televangelist, but every chance he gets, he talks shit about her.
I know. It's a weird situation. They have a nice house right on the beach.
Yeah, it's a house on the beach, which in certain shots does not look like it's a house on the beach, and in other shots it looks like a motel. There's a lot of weird things going on with that.
Yeah, I think the exterior shots were filmed on, like, Venice Beach or something.
It does seem
But I think the inside had to be, like, a soundstage or something, because it just didn't look like it was, you know, on the beach. On the inside, it just looked really weird. But then, you know, also, the fact that we rarely see Charlie's dad either, that's, like, a weird thing.
Well, he's, like, not interested in his wife at all. There's, like, a running joke that he's watching women on the beach.
Yeah.
Charlie actually at one point says, because one of the jokes in this movie is that they're going, because she's obsessed with the televangelist on the TV.
"And they hear the music called rock and roll. I would rather hold a shotgun to my daughter's head than allow her to fall into the hands of Satan. The fight against Satan is expensive. We need your money now."
And she wants to go to New York to see him. So, now, I have to say this again, because Charlie has to check in with a parole officer. He had a drinking problem, apparently, and he stole a car, apparently. And his mother and father are going to leave him with his sister. His older sister? It's really unclear. And they're going to leave to New York. They're just going to go on a plane and get out of here and leave these two kids on summer on the beach. And they're not worried about anything happening. Now, we have to talk about Charlie's sister.
Oh, my God. Okay, what's this actress's name? Do we know her from something?
I saw her. Funny enough, I try to write everybody down what they were starring in. Her name is Leslie Dannon. She was in A Million to One.
A Million to One.
Yeah, I remember with, I forgot the Spanish actor that's in that movie. I forgot his name just all of a sudden. He was in everything in the 80s. He's in Quicksilver with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, I could hold.
I don't know. I haven't seen Quicksilver in ages.
Yeah. Paul, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Paul Rodriguez.
Bam! Oh, nice belt. Bam!
Paul Rodriguez. So, this actress, she is doing so much, like, bitchy attitude.
Okay.
Face work.
She looks like a bobblehead.
She's giving so much sass.
Her neck is constantly moving back and forth.
I was like, you're going to snap that neck if you keep this up, because every line of dialogue has to be like a snap.
Did you see what she's doing now? She's playing the records backwards.
There happens to be a moral decline in this country. Or haven't you noticed?
I'm shocked at what you're turning into, Kathleen.
What I'm turning into? My brother arrested for stealing a car.
You know I didn't really steal that car.
And listening to that creepy music? And the way you dress.
I'll admit my underwear isn't as wrinkle-free as yours.
At him.
She hates him. You can tell.
She hates his guts. And there's a really funny line in the opening of this movie where her friend, they're on the beach, of course, because everybody just hangs out on the beach. Her friend says to her, oh, there's your brother again. She goes, he has caused so much pain in our family.
Oh, my God. What, because he got into trouble with the police once as a kid?
He has caused so much pain in my family.
Like, what?
Well, apparently she's in love with the lifeguard. And the lifeguard sister happens to be the girl that Charlie likes. By the way, I looked her up. She was born in 65. So she was like 20-something? 24?
Yeah, the sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she had to show her knockers.
No, she didn't.
She did.
The sister? Oh, no, not the, that's it. Not the sister. The girl that Charlie likes is what I was talking about. Because you said that she's like 30-something.
Yeah, I know. Her name is Wendy.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
She passed away young, by the way. I saw that. I was like 45 years old. She had 5 kids. I could not find any information about her. But she was in a lot of weird stuff. She was in What Women Want. There's a lot of weird stuff.
Interesting.
The lifeguard's sister happens to be the girl that everybody's connected because the movie is a very small unit. Although there's a giant beach of people at all times, and everybody knows each other. Like, every single person is always there.
They actually do all know each other.
They're all connected. It's like 7 degrees of separation. The sister... The girl that Charlie likes happens to be the sister of the lifeguard who likes his sister, and Scully is going to help them introduce each other because for 3 years he's been staring at this girl, and he finally gets her over, and then he hooks up with her best friend. So Charlie's best friend Scully and this other girl are hooking up, and they like fall for each other like instantly. There's not even a question here. They just like each other.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he puts on her makeup.
Okay, this is one of those scenes that I was like, okay, this doesn't, it just was a little extra for this character. Like, I know Scully was like a bit zany, a bit out there, but he's sitting in a club with this pretty girl and he just starts putting her makeup all over his face.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
He makes himself look like Peter Criss. From The Kiss.
I mean, he looked like, it was just a little bit ridiculous. And then he starts kissing her. And at one point, I don't know if you noticed this, but the actress was just like so turned off by it. Like, I feel like she was just like, oh man, do I really have to do this?
It was weird.
It was very odd.
It was weird.
I feel like she was being like, like forced against her will. Like, I know she.
I can see it.
You know, it was weird. I just didn't see the chemistry between the two of them at all.
I didn't either. It's also questionable. Like, you don't really see the chemistry with anybody.
No.
Because Charlie likes this girl who doesn't really even see him as a person until she needs him.
Of course, that's every girl.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad because she automatically likes the rock and roll guy who isn't that cool. We see him sleeping with multiple groupies. And his music is not that great. My favorite thing is when we see the band playing in clubs, you can actually see like some people who look like they would listen to heavy metal in the background, not moving much. And like you have like a group in front of the camera who are just like yuppies dancing. And you're like, yeah, the real people are in the back and they don't give the shit about this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But she, of course, is in love with this guy. And the moment that Charlie is out of, and like you said, it doesn't make much sense, but Charlie's like, I want to play guitar so I can get with this girl. And I know the band. And I know the singer of the band, and he does, which we actually thought that was a lie. That it was like one of those Zach Morris things, like, oh, yeah, I can get you in with that. You know, and it's like, he's got to figure out, how do I fix this now? No, there's no plot. He actually knows the guy. And the guy is like, hey, what's up? And just, like, leaves. Hey, it's nice seeing you again, Charlie.
It's weird. Like, we don't even know how he knows the guy or whatever.
They don't tell us.
Apparently, everybody knows his band, and they're kind of popular. So Charlie, like, throws this party because his parents are out of town.
Yeah, there's so much stuff getting there. Like, the biker gang, like, comes in his house and destroys his house and rips up the sister's clothes. She calls the cops. Then he's got to figure out how he can get out of that. So he, like, comes up with a whole plan to get the sister out of the house and then throw a concert. Now, the whole thing is he's afraid to have, like, people in his house because he's afraid to get in trouble again.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what, though? Let me trash it.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, my God. The funny thing about this is that he is on probation, and he doesn't think twice about having these hoodlums and these hooligans in his house, in his parents' house.
Number and he's one, selling beer.
His mother already is, like, pissed with him.
Yeah.
Really pissed with him. So, like, why not just throw a party and sell beer when you're underage, number one, you're on probation, number two, and you know that having rock stars in your house is going to trash your shit up.
Yeah.
He allows people to get into a fight in his house and trash the whole house. And I'm talking about destroying his mother's, like, tchotchkes and, like, little, you know, figurines and whatever.
That, of course, occurs in all these movies. You know, at the end of it, it's like, oh, they're going to trash this place.
Yeah, and he seems completely fine with it. He's not freaking out. You know, it's like in Gary and Wyatt where, you know, Wyatt was having a total meltdown when there was a missile in the middle of his house. I can see how Wyatt's having, like, a total breakdown.
Yeah.
See? But not this guy. This guy, his house is trash and he doesn't even care.
He doesn't even think about it. But what I thought was one of the, there's a couple of funny bits that I wanted to talk about, but we kind of, like, jumped through it. There is, like, a opening joke where someone lets loose a pit bull onto the beach, and then the lifeguard screams, "Pitbull!" Everybody screams like it's the end of the world, and they all run into the ocean. And this goes on for a while, and this actually made me really laugh.
Okay, because I don't understand this part.
I just love that people, like, flipped out because of pitbulls.
I mean,
they went into the ocean.
Stupid.
Every time they went in the ocean, Scully goes, "Shark." So they had to run out of the ocean to the pit bull, run back into the ocean to the shark. I was laughing.
It was so
I was like, that is a funny joke.
It was so dumb,
but who would have thought? Who would have thought this was a setup for an later joke? Because that kind of blew my mind. I didn't understand. I thought this was just a silly little joke. I wish the whole movie was more like this. But this joke actually comes back because another joke in the movie is that Mollusk, one of the band guys, the guy from Toxic Avenger, his mother apparently is the worst, and everybody seems to know it. And the girl that Charlie likes, her brother, the lifeguard, he's like a hardcore Republican is what they keep saying, and that he wants everybody to be straight-laced, and he doesn't want his sister around bad element. Rightfully so. But he goes to the club, and he's going to go fight Charlie, and Scully wisely tells the band, do like a song for this guy and say it's to Mollusk's mother.
We have a request from Doug. Can we get the spot on Doug, please? That's right, folks. Doug would like to dedicate this next tune to Mollusk's mother. That's right, folks. Doug is dedicating this next song to Mollusk's mother. And the tune is called Love's the Bitch.
Mom, can't afford to get you in any trouble tonight.
You guys better get out of here. Mollusk is a force of nature.
Yeah? Well, so am I.
And the song is like, love's a bitch, and so are you, or something like that. And so Mollusk freaks out because you cannot talk about his mother. So Mollusk and this guy are about to fight, and he scares the guy off just by screaming in his face, and Mollusk like wins. So it's like a running joke about Mollusk's mother. And sure as shit, like, they have this giant thing. Now, Charlie does this really funny bit where he tricks the lifeguard into asking out the sister. And they go off, and he reads an entire diary passage that goes on forever. This kind of made me laugh, too, because it goes on and on and on. But it's like a setup of how he should ask her out and how he should take her on a date so he can get rid of his sister for the entire night on Saturday night. And it kind of works out. The guy does take her out, and they go. So now they have this big concert, because there's also supposed to be like a record executive coming, and they couldn't find a venue, the band. So he says, oh, you can have it at my house, and I can make money at the door, and I can get my guitar. Now, here's the thing that's crazy about that. If he's getting money for the guitar, the only reason he was going to get the guitar is for the girl. But the girl is not with him. She is now, like, kind of dating or seeing the singer of this band. So why is he still trying to get a guitar?
Because he still wants to be a guitar player.
But why?
He wanted to be one before he met her.
There's some weird, weird subplots in this movie. And when they all come back, it's like, what the fuck?
Which is weird, because how does he know how to play the guitar if he doesn't own a guitar?
I don't understand this either. And this is what my point was. I thought he only wanted to get it to learn how to play so he can be with this girl that he's obsessed with. When he actually goes to they constantly go to the music store to look at guitars. They never buy them, but they constantly go. And I talk about a couple places in this movie. There's so many little bits I have to mention because it was driving me crazy during the movie while we're watching it. But he goes there, and there's a joke about two twin girls. Now, I always love when these movies go, oh, everybody's obsessed with this one girl, but then you have all these other pretty girls in the movie, and nobody seems to even notice them. That always makes me laugh. It's like, you got to stop peppering your movie with pretty girls.
Was that the Double Mint twins?
I don't think so. As far as I can tell. There's a joke, but there's a two girls. Now you want to be a musician and you like music. Then all of a sudden you have a pretty girl playing the drums good. Right?
Was she playing the drums good?
I thought she was.
No.
Hey, Hal. How about selling me this guitar on time?
Hey! Knock it off!
Come on, Hal. What do you say? I'll make payments.
No sweat. Just bring your pants down and sign the papers. Hey, I thought I told you to knock it off.
No, you told me. She's my sister.
God damn it.
They were atrocious.
Oh, I thought it was pretty good. No. I thought it was like decent. No. And then all of a sudden, there's another girl playing the guitar, and the joke is that he got them mixed up. He thinks, hey, I told you to stop playing the drums, I'm playing the music. And he's like, oh, that's not me, that's my sister. And they're twins. And that's like a running joke in the movie. They keep coming back in weird scenes.
Yeah, they were terrible, though. They showed up at the party that Charlie
I wanted to get to that. Yeah. Another place I have to talk about is this weird restaurant they keep eating at. Can we talk about that restaurant? Do you not know what I'm talking about? Because there's a weird tropical restaurant themed place they go to where there is like the beach sound effects playing, and there's like tacky water paintings on the wall of waves.
The freaking waitress is wearing a floaty around her body.
She's wearing a floaty and flip-flops. And
no, they're swimming flippers, like scuba flippers. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
scuba flippers. I said flip-flops. Scuba slippers. There's also the cook. Is like the cook from You Can't Do That on Television, where he's like no shirt and he's only has an apron on and he had like chest hair. And I was like, oh my God, that is so gross.
Oh my God.
And one of my weirdest moments in this place, they keep going back here. Oh, by the way, the tables are all half surfboards.
Yes, they are. It's a cool place.
Sticking out of the wall. I guess it was a cool place. The burger had an entire wedge of iceberg lettuce on it. I was like, what kind of hamburger? This is like Jughead's burgers or like Wimpy.
No, Wimpy's burgers. Jughead would never have that kind of lettuce.
You know what I'm talking about? The cartoon Wimpy burgers and Popeye? It was just like a lettuce chunk in there. yeah, that place was crazy, and they keep cutting back to these weird locations. But yeah, at the during the end of this movie or whatever, the whole thing comes together where they have the party, and there's a giant fight breaks out, and everything goes to hell, right? The girl, the singer brings her to the bathroom and it basically molests her almost.
Wendy, no. So he brings her to the bathroom, sets her on the freaking counter, like they're going to do it.
Can you say what he says to her?
What does he say to her? I don't remember.
Can give me a lock, a lip lock around my love muscle? And she goes, no. Now, this is weird because you think she's like wanting to kiss him or make out. But she keeps saying no.
Yeah, so here's the thing. This is the stupidest crap, okay? Now, in the 80s, there was no hair band singer or guitarist or band member that was not doing a million groupies. Now, that's like all they did. They partied, they drank, they had sex. That's what they did. This girl is under some cloud of delusion that this guy is going to be her perfect boyfriend and that he's not going to want to sleep with her. He's not going to want to do other girls. He's just going to be the perfect boyfriend. I'm like, you dumb bitch. First of all, you're in the 80s. Do you know anything about rock stars? Like, come on. So
I was saying, though, he puts her on the counter and starts like trying to have sex with her while she's saying no.
Yeah.
She actually has to kick him in the crotch.
She kicks him.
And she's like, what the
fuck? Well, he's probably taken aback by it because everyone just throws themselves at
him. Exactly. And she goes, what do you think? I'm one of your groupies? Yes.
Yes.
Why would you think he doesn't think
what, this? What, do you think you're someone special? It's like a stripper.
Yeah.
You're going to a strip club. Do you think the stripper likes you, Bob?
Yeah.
She doesn't like you. She likes what's in your pocket. And I'm not talking about your penis. Talking about your freaking wallet.
Well, I'm interested if they were like seeing each other and she was hanging out. They weren't already making out. They weren't kissing. Like, is this the first time?
The first time.
So this is the really strange part. She runs into the other room, cries, and Charlie goes and finds it. Now everything is coming together at this party because even his parole officer shows up for advice on how not to drink at a party.
And go to a kegger. Yeah. And they learn not to drink.
Everybody. And then the jocks all show up and start a fight with the singer who hurts his hand. And while they're having a big fist fight, then he goes to the bedroom and he calms down the girl from crying. And she realizes, oh, you're a nice guy. And he's like, yeah, I guess so. You know, I care about other people and I don't think I care about myself enough. And she's like, oh, I care about you. And he's like, oh, yeah, but I'm not in a band. And I thought we were supposed to be best friends. And she goes, I don't care about that. And she starts making out with him.
See, this is typical. It's like, oh, I'm going to put you in the friend zone because there's somebody else that I really like and I'm sexually attracted to. But then that person turns out to be a real piece of shit human. So now I'm going to go crawling back to the guy that I know that I can crawl back to because I have him wrapped around my little pinky. That's fucked.
It's a good guy syndrome. Good guy syndrome is not, it's not a good thing.
I can't stand that in movies.
Everybody always goes, where's the good guys at? Eh, it's the guy you don't want to pay attention to.
It makes me so annoyed, too, because, like, there's never a guy that says, you know what? Go fuck yourself. You had your chance. No, they always fall for it.
Yeah, it's great. Bullshit. It's sad. Like, it always, like, plays out like this, where it's like, oh, now we're together. Now I like you, because now you're listening to me and you actually care about me. It's so stupid.
Yeah, he cared about you before, but then you wanted the rock star, the slimy, disgusting, herpes-infested rock star. He's probably got every freaking STD on the planet.
Well, here's the craziest bit. While they're making out, the biker guys come and rob them by gunpoint for the money that he made at the door.
So this is mind-boggling to me.
This whole thing.
First of all, they seem to be, like, kind of rivals, but they still get along. It's weird, but I mean, to go the extra, like, that's extreme with a gun.
It blew my mind that this happened.
Totally turned the movie on its head.
It did. And they said that the only reason they're robbing him is because Mollusk needs the money to pay off his mother because she's going to kill him. And so why? Now Mollusk is the one that throughout the movie is like scaring everybody, and he's scared of his mother. And I've already made a lot of references about you can't talk about his mother. So wouldn't you know it, while they have a giant fist fight, everybody's freaking out, they're all fighting, the whole house is going nuts. Even Scully is trying to teach meditation to the parole officer.
Who's having he goes to Charlie when he's having a party to get Zen moments.
I actually thought this was one of the funnier bits. And he's like holding Charlie's leg.
Oh my God.
He's like in desperate need of like saving. Now the whole place is going nuts. And all of a sudden, just like in Weird Science, the door busts in. And there's a giant woman at the door with a pit bull. And someone yells, "Pit bull!" And everybody runs out screaming. Right, except for Mollusk and our main cast, and she's like yelling at Mollusk to like, you know, treating him like crap, and he gets on the floor and he's like, "Sorry, mommy, and I got your money right here," and she's like, "Ah, that's good, that's a good boy, I won't have to stick my pit bull on," and all of a sudden the two twins show up, and then they go, "Hey, I know a guy down the street that has more vicious pit bull than you do," and she goes, "Bring me to him. I need them to fight." I have no idea what's happening.
This is the strangest scene in the movie. She wants to take her dog to fight with another
pit bull
dog.
I'm like, what?
What is the hell? Reasoning? Just to show that she's bonkers?
She runs out with the pit bull, and the two twins follow him like they're excited to watch a giant fight.
None of this makes any sense. Like, none of this. It's so weird.
And exactly this time, the door, Charlie's they hear a car show up. Charlie's like, "Eh, it's nobody. It's just my parents and a strange man at the door." Oh, well, they're here. And they carry these two men, the father and another guy, carry in the mother, who's like completely comatose. And they can't figure out how to put her on the floor for about a good 5 minutes. They keep putting on everything in the house until they just throw her on the floor, which was kind of a funny bit again. Well, it turns out on the plane, they were sitting next to the record producer who was supposed to come and listen to Seven Heads in a Duffel Bag. And
it's not Seven Heads in a
Duffel Bag. Who gives a shit? And he was supposed to come here. Now, this guy comes in. This guy does not look like a record producer. He looks like a bouncer. He's huge, this guy. And
or a 1980s gym teacher.
Yeah, he looks like he's got Lionheart hair and he's got the sunglasses. He goes, "I'm here to listen to the music." And the singer of the band goes, "Well, unfortunately, I hurt my hand and I can't play guitar." And he's like, "But Charlie can play guitar." So Charlie, and he does this whole thing where he's like, "Oh, I'm going to play and Charlie's going to be behind me and he's going to like simulate that my guitar." And the record producer's like, "No, move over. I want to see him too." Right? So then Charlie gets up there. Now, all of a sudden, Charlie can play incredibly.
Here's the thing. This is what I was saying. He doesn't have a guitar. He has not had a guitar in this whole entire movie.
No, we've never seen him play. We've never heard him say that he's good.
No, nothing. Now he suddenly can play like Eddie Van Halen, okay? And yeah. He looks nothing like anyone in this band. So he would never fit in this band, ever.
And he was playing good, right?
He was playing really good.
Yeah. Really good. That's probably because Steve Vai actually did the guitar.
Steve Vai, are you serious? That is really
weird. Yeah, I know. I found that out. I was like, huh? He's credited on the sound, music of this movie, is the guitarist.
Oh my God.
So that makes a lot of sense of why all of a sudden, like you said, Eddie Van Halen. No, Steve Vai.
It was the best song in the movie.
And he's like jamming. And he came. And just watching this actor pretend that he's playing the guitar made me laugh because he's doing like a lot of faces that do not represent like what he's going for. And of course, the girl that he likes is in the the room listening, and she's just so happy
looking out over
him. Right next to him is the singer, is the guy who tried to molest her.
Yeah, well,
she got off that pretty quick.
She's fine.
Yeah, she's fine
because now she likes Charlie, and she didn't like him before because he couldn't play guitar, wasn't a rock star, none of that. Okay. But now he's playing with the band.
Yeah,
so she likes him now.
And what's really funny is the house is destroyed, and the father with the comatose mother on the floor, who turns out was drugged on the airplane because she had a nervous breakdown. They gave her drugs and she's knocked out from it. The father is like enjoying. It doesn't matter. The house is literally destroyed.
Yeah, Charlie's completely not bothered by the fact that the house has been obliterated.
Yeah, because everything's working out. Everything's playing to him. It's like aces. And by the way, the parole officer completely healed. He is now a Zen master.
Yep.
Scully and the girl are together. His girl, I guess, they're happy, I suppose.
They seem fine.
Yeah, they seem fine. Everything is turning up. Now, you might be wondering, whatever happened to the sister and the guy that went to that was tricked to going to, he was going to bring her to a hotel. Now, this bit is one of the most insane things.
I really need you to explain why they put something like this in this movie.
I do not know
what's happening. It's very off-putting. It's off-putting to the 900th degree. He takes this girl. So this is the lifeguard.
Charlie tells her, bring her to a... Don't say anything. You know, as this whole thing, drive way out. Go to all the way out there. Go to this hotel that's in the middle of nowhere. Get a key. Don't tell her. Then bring her into the room because she wants it and all this stuff. This is supposedly in her diary. So he's like following it word to word. But when he gets to the hotel, the guy, the clerk at the hotel, the front door guy.
Okay. So... Oh my God, I can't do this. So the lifeguard who's put up to all this with Charlie's sister, he leaves her in the car and he goes in with this clerk to check out the room that he's going to be renting for the night. And
the guy says, do you want me to show you the room?
The guy comes on to him in like the most unbelievable way, like literally throws himself on the bed, which is very weird. And there was like this,
he says,
like,
ravage me.
Yeah, there was like this, you know, he's a gay man coming on to this guy. And so what happens, he runs out of there like a bat out of hell, gets in the car with the chick and drives away. And then he says to her, do you think other people can sense other gay people? Do you think
a gay person can sense another gay person?
Can sense another gay person?
She's like, yeah.
And so he's like, why? I'm gay.
I think I'm gay. Basically, he's saying is, I didn't know I was gay, but a gay guy thinks I'm gay, so I must be gay.
So they have sex in the car.
Then that's the straight-laced sister who's like, I'm not a one-night stand. You don't bring me to a hotel. She actually goes, well, I guess I have to sacrifice my body to save a soul. And she undresses completely. And she tells him to get it out. And she just bangs his brains out in the car.
In the car. But like...
And he's like, you saved me. I'm not gay.
I guess to prove that he's not gay, she just bangs him right there in the car. I was like, what is this?
Would you say that if a homosexual wanted to practice homosexuality on someone, and the someone had never been a homosexual... Do you think that the homosexual wanted to be homosexual with the someone because the homosexual could recognize that the someone was really a homosexual, even though he wasn't?
That makes sense.
Kathleen, I'm a homosexual.
Is this the surprise?
The clerk in the motel room was attracted to me, so I must be a homosexual. I'm gonna have to kill myself.
But, Doug, I'm attracted to you.
God, I'm so confused.
Doug, I have very strong moral principles. But I could not forgive myself if I let a chance go by to help a young, outstanding American out of moral confusion. Would you put this in the back seat, please? Neatly, please. Well, don't just sit there gawking. Remove your pants.
Yeah.
Like, what is
this going on? This comes out of nowhere.
It is so bizarre. It was, like, the most bizarre part of this movie. And
it is the only sex, besides the groupie was having sex with the guy. It's the only sex in this what we thought was going to be, you know, like a booby comedy.
I thought this was going to be like a total tit fest. I mean, I thought there was going to be gratuitous boobs here and there. Like at one point, a woman's bikini top washed up on the beach.
I forgot about that.
And some lady just runs out of the water with her boobies flopping around. There's children everywhere. And
the ADR in the line, hey, look, it's someone's mother.
Like, why?
I know what. The mom's like, looking the pretty mom's good.
She's got some nice hunkers. Like, it was just so stupid. I thought that this was going to be like one of those beach romps where like everyone's just trying to get laid. And
yeah, like a group of guys. It was
like slapsticky. It threw me for a loop because you think the movie Beach Balls, like that can have several meanings, but like,
not I just one beach it was, ball in this whole movie.
Nope. I mean, I thought it was going to be like a whole group of kids that were just, they had each had their own like little storyline going on, but it was so out of control, wacky, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It wasn't like that at all. I'm just very disappointed in this, the title of this film, because it threw me for a loop.
Yeah. And you know what's funny too is at the end of this movie, because it pretty much wraps up.
That's
with
it.
All of this, and yeah. It wraps up in a happy way where everybody's together. So much so, this is how crazy it is. He's such a good guitarist that they're on the beach, him and his girlfriend now, they're together. They're on the beach, and the singer of the band finds him on the beach and says, hey. And he goes, hey, what's up? And they're like, hey, what's going on? And he goes, we got signed, but there's a catch. He wants you in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie's like, yeah, of course, man.
Yeah, he'll and they're fit
like,
right all right. In.
And then Charlie's like, hey, can I talk to you for 1 minute before you leave? And he's like, yeah. He's like, hey, go apologize to my girlfriend.
That was just.
And they just show like a little shot of him apologizing to her, and they instantly make up, and he walks off. And I was like, what could you have said? I'm sorry, I almost molested you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. This is so, like, they put, like, a semi-serious moment in a movie like this. I was like, okay, this doesn't make any, this, thank God it's over.
Yeah.
Because there's literally nothing. It was like, this whole movie was built upon him liking this girl and wanting to be a guitarist in a band. And nothing really happens aside from just some silliness. Like, it's, like, not on the level of, like, even like Nerds in Paradise when they go to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Lamar's in those tighties, they're all in their underwear.
It's a classic.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, even the sister and the lifeguard are together and she is controlling him like a slave.
Yeah, it's just bonkers. And you know,
the only thing we don't see is the mother making up with Charlie.
No, they just skip over that whole thing.
They just
the house
drop
is
that plot.
Trashed. I mean, they
just
would
drop it.
Throw him out after that. You know, after their
yeah,
house
but the father
destroyed.
Is all about him. And he's like, you know what? I've made a lot of mistakes. I shouldn't have gone with her or agreed with her descent into this crazy church thing that she was doing. So he was pretty much saying, I'm going to put my foot down now. And I think that, Charlie, you should follow your dreams.
Yeah.
But it was like so subtly it was like never like, went like, back to it.
It's like another trying to be serious moment in a movie like this. It doesn't yeah, make sense.
I love the scene, by the way, when they were said, we're going to go to New York because your mother wants to go follow this this televangelist. And Charlie goes, that's a good thing, Dad. There's a lot of hot women out in New York for you.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, shut up, Charlie.
I know. Like, what are you doing? Encouraging a divorce, you idiot?
I mean, pretty much, because he actually says his mother's name. That's why I was wondering, was a stepmom? Because it would make sense that the sister and him don't seem related at all.
Well, they never make mention of that. So that's a
but
plot point you
never
might
says,
want to make mention of.
He says my mother, but when he talks about her, he says her name, which I thought was really strange. I didn't understand any of that. But yeah, nothing else. And also the guys that robbed him at gunpoint, no, they don't get arrested.
No.
They're still out there.
Yep, and they took his money.
Oh, and that's the last joke in the movie. They said, I wonder what happened to the money because it fell out of the guy's pocket. And while I thought we saw Mullis give it to his mother, which I'm confused about, but they said, we never found out who found the money. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the two twins almost hit them with a car. They're driving a sand buggy, like a dune buggy. And that's the end of the movie. And they're all laughing. Ha, 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 ha. The twins found the money and they got a dune buggy.
I mean, is that what they're saying?
Yes.
The twins went to watch the Rottweilers fight or but whatever.
But they secretly stole the money and they ran out.
This is so stupid.
Yes, yeah. Now, can I read the one weird trivia thing on this movie?
Yeah.
This is odd.
Is there any trivia on this movie?
This is it. It just says crazy credits.
Okay.
It says at the end of the movie, it says, any unauthorized exhibition, distribution, or copying of this film, or any part thereof, including soundtrack, is an infringement of the relative copyright and will subject the infringer to serve civil and criminal prosecution, and by a visit from Mollusk's mother.
Oh my god, that's some freaking turd writing that. Oh god, trying to be funny.
I like that a lot.
Well, I'll give this movie a 3. It wasn't the worst.
You know, there's a part in this movie where I was like, maybe it was in the first 15 minutes or so, I said, you know what, this isn't so bad. This could be worse. Mm-hmm. And as the movie went on, I was like, yeah, it's kind of dull. Kind of boring. Dull.
Yeah, it's not at all what I expected from the title Beach Balls. I don't know.
It's a fine little stupid movie. It has a couple funny quotes here and there. There's a couple moments that made me laugh. I think I'd give this a 4.
Okay.
I think I've seen way worse. I just don't think this, unfortunately, when you have bad comedy without a lot of funny jokes and a lot of good premise, your movie doesn't really work.
So you're putting this in a category of so bad it's good, because a 4 is so bad it's good.
I just think it's a little, I don't think it's as bad as a 3.
I think it's bad.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's a bad film.
The you just think it's straight up bad.
Yes.
Yeah, the boom mic. There was a weird glitch with the film I pointed out to you.
Yes, a weird glitch with the film. The boom mic was exposed more than once. The actors were okay, but it was just all over the place. The writing, there was really none. No writing. I mean, this is not a competent film at all.
Right.
It's not. So I'm all giving right.
If
it
you're
a 3.
Trying to talk me into it, I think you won. I'll give it a 3.
Like, you can choose what you want, but I don't think this is so bad it's good. I think this is just a bad film. I mean, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't the worst.
No, but it's not so bad it's good. So that brings us to our segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I read out the two extremes of internet reviews. A 1-star review and a 10-star review as proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone who fucks it up for the rest of us. So I'm going to start with the number 1-star review. Nostalgia, It Ain't. It's the title. This is by Hammer Rocks. As a young kid, I remember fondly some great teen movies back in the 80s and 90s. So when I saw that this movie was from the same era, and I've never seen nor heard of it till then, I got excited and expected more of the same experience as Revenge of the Nerds, The Sure Thing, My Science Project, Breakfast Club, Zapped, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You get the picture. After watching 20 minutes of it, I now understand why I've never heard of it. Simply put, this movie stinks. Not just a little, but a lot. Acting is non-existent, and not just by one or two actors, but pretty much the entire cast. The dialogue, if you can call it that, always seems strained and unnatural. This must have been a movie that was straight to VCR in its day. I honestly gave the movie a chance to get better and get going, but after 20 minutes, I no longer could stand it and stopped watching. If you're smart, you shouldn't even bother with it. There are better choices to spend time on out there, like watching grass grow.
I'd rather watch this movie any day than that shit, like he's saying. It's not that bad. I don't think it is.
All right, this is a 10 out of 10.
This is wild.
Now, this one, the title of the headline of this is Better Than I Imagined. Now, this is by Edemus Prime. First of all, this could very well be an undiscovered gem of 80s B-movie comedies. Now, don't think you're getting the best movie ever made. The actors are headed by the guy that played Shaka in Land of the Lost. No kidding, really. But don't let that fool you. This movie is actually pretty funny, despite the other reviews here, which I respect but disagree with. I don't know, but what can I say? Sit back, don't overanalyze it, and give it a chance. It's better than you might think. Plus, what can I say? Leslie Dannon is pretty hot. So you're giving this a 10 out of 10, but you're saying, now don't think you're getting the best movie ever made. A 10 out of 10 is quite literally the definition of the best movie ever made.
I mean, it just goes to prove the point of the whole
concept. You don't know how to fucking review things.
It's just, I have to boost it because no one else will.
Yes. Yeah. Straight up ridiculous.
Now, I mean, I'm in between those two people. Oh, as usual, I can't even begin to say this is like the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I didn't have like a hatred that we watched it. I just thought,
no.
Oh, this is one of the duller ones we've ever done on the show.
Yeah, it's a three because it's what not a so bad, episode. It's good. I know, we chose this one for our 100th episode and it's like a big stinker. But like I said, it wasn't the worst thing we've ever seen, but it's not on the so bad it's good level. So where are we putting this on our list?
Yeah, I'm going to stick this between The Mask and the Red Death, that is our number 16, and The Trip.
Okay.
Which is number 17. So this will be number 17 now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's where it can go because we can't go any lower. And I can't go any higher because some of these other movies I would watch again a million times.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Although I will say The Son of the Mask is lower, and I don't know. I've started to debate that one as being worse than some of these movies, but
Son of the Mask was a big piece of shit.
It's bad, but it's not the worst. But yeah, I get it. Yeah, I'm definitely putting this at 17.
Okay.
So, yeah. Any last thoughts?
Well, for our 100th episode, I just would like to say that Beach Balls is not the most epic movie choice, but you know what? We couldn't really know going in.
I just went with it. That was the next movie. Actually, we picked the wrong movie, but it doesn't matter now.
Yeah, it doesn't matter now, but it's been a very fun ride doing these with you, and I'm happy we did 100 episodes so far. It's pretty rad. It's
kind of wild.
Yeah,
there's 100 movies we've watched on Talking Trash.
That's amazing.
That's kind of crazy.
And it makes me feel so happy that, you know, I have a life partner that I can do things like this with because I feel so lucky. I really do. Like, I love doing this with you and I love watching movies with you and doing life with you. So,
love you.
Happy 100.
Happy 100 with Beach Balls.
Beach Balls.
Yeah. And Mullis Mother. Pitbull! All right, everybody, have a good one, and thanks for listening, as always, and please hit us up on social media at Instagram for me, Just Another Movie Night, and Joe for The Crafty Misfit. We'd love to hear you. We would love to have conversations about movies, and we would love to hear what you think the worst movie ever is. Please hit us up and tell us. All right, so until next time, here's to a next 100. Have a good one.
Okay, listen to this now. Listen. Right there, Satan is bitching. Did you hear it? Did you hear it, dear? I'll play it again.
No, I heard it.
They're putting satanic messages on rock albums. I can't believe it.
Maybe Satan is bitching means Satan is complaining. I mean, that would be a whole different meaning, wouldn't it? Maybe what they mean is Satan is a complainer. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm convinced that what you've been listening to is an anti-satanic message.